John and Rex and Jason and Kyle. Just waiting for Gersh.
Probably selling something somewhere.
He's in roll 20.
Gersh is selling something?
Oh, he always is. So.
Oh, game-wise? Yeah.
There he is.
There he Gershing. Is.
Hey, how you doing?
He's Gershing.
I forgot about roll 20.
Yeah.
Can you it might be important now?
It might be, yes.
Not necessarily. We have our D20s. Who needs the program?
Yeah. Roll 20 in the D20s.
Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you what I rolled.
I can't. Well, we'll see. We'll get there.
I had my old dice. So.
Let's see. Rex, are you there?
I am, if you tell me that you can hear me.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
We should have all not said anything. And
what happened to that guy?
Exactly.
All right, look at us, like all on time and ready to get it on.
That whole ready thing.
It's Dungeon Crawl Classics. It's ready is a relative term.
Yeah, I'm trying to name my characters right now. So.
Wow. Good segue, Rex. All right, so yes, fortunately. Well, unfortunately, the last crew met a total and complete end last session. So sad, so sad. However, the Lady in Blue is persistent and has reached out into the minds and souls and desires of another group of potential adventurers. This is not even the second group that she has enlisted in this cause, but that's unbeknownst to you guys. But another group of, let's see, 4 times 5, 20 adventurers or potential adventurers have made their way back through the hole in the sky. They had the creepy meeting with the Lady in Blue at the cliffside and the somewhat suspect buffet meal, stop at American for supplies, perhaps, and then onto the invisible bridge. And their journey brought them through the bridge, through the hole in the sky, and basically back where we left off last session.
Shocking.
Shocking. Unfortunately, there it's have been convenient. Some deaths. There have been some deaths, and we are down to 10 remaining level zero characters.
It's impressive how it worked out so evenly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, dice don't lie.
No.
Judges, on the other hand, may have other plans in mind. So, you guys basically find yourself where we left off last time. Of course, it's a different crew of characters. First of all, Gersh has introduced me to Feet McKenzie, a turnip farmer, and Hans Solo, a smuggler.
Sholo.
Sholo.
H. Is it Hans
Sholo? Yeah, Hans with a Z.
Hans Sholo, a nice. Smuggler. not to
really
put
a smuggler.
Anybody,
nice.
Not to put anybody.
The feet has something too. There's this turnip dish my ex's in laws used to make. I swear to God, it tasted like feet.
Oh, yes.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Wow. Now it's recorded for prosperity.
We need a...
Your children will love you. Yeah.
We need a recipe channel on Rocket Chat.
That's right.
Feet casserole.
I think we do. We have a cooking one.
Do we have a cooking one? No, geez.
Yeah.
Do we? Why am I not on that? Yeah, why am I not on that?
There's no subcategory for ones that taste like feet, but
hashtag
<It's> super specific.
It's a peculiar right. audience.
I just figured that was going to be in Frappening or Fappening. The place I don't go. So.
Who goes there? No one goes there. But keep posting that stuff, Tony. I appreciate it.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Keep up the good work. I hear good things. All right.
Allegedly.
Not to put anybody else on the spot, and you don't have to answer now if you want to think about it, but any other clever and unique character names?
I came up with two names. I mean, I put them in the thing, so am I not the lesser for my shame and anthracnose for my corn farmer.
Wow. Okay.
I urge you to look up anthracnose on the interwebs.
Okay.
I'm waiting for someone else to do it first.
no, one of those, huh?
It's nothing untoward. He's a corn farmer. That'll give you a hint.
All right. Mine at the lesser. Okay. Well done. Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got
clever names. So I'm.
Yeah, I've got, mine aren't clever.
A dwarven rat catcher. Mine aren't clever. They're just ridiculous.
Better.
Yeah, a dwarven rat catcher named Guy Buttersnaps. Looked it directly from Psych. Anybody who's watched Psych before that reference.
Okay.
And then my armorer is Ole Biscuit Barrel. Oh, Monty Python reference there.
Okay. Ole Biscuit Bearer?
Biscuit Barrel.
Oh, barrel. Okay. Okay. All right. Rex?
So my two new characters are Hayek, a smuggler. Mm-hmm. You may know Hans Scholo. And since Hayek believes in free market economics, he's not really worried about intellectual property infringement, so he doesn't mind hanging out with Hans Scholo. And then my other character is Hobo, the halfling vagrant.
Hobo the Hobo. Okay.
I don't know what possible copyright infringement you're talking about.
It's fair use. You should be fine.
Hayek believes that allowing ideas to be bottled up and held in the possession of a limited few is bad.
Free education for all.
And Jason.
Is it just me?
I'm muted.
So. Yeah, just you. Yeah.
I have just two, Louis and Dewey, the merchant and the wizard. Wizard's Apprentice.
All right.
Louis.
Well done.
Wait, one's a Wizard's Apprentice?
Yes.
So he's freelancing without his wizard today?
He's on a spirit quest.
Okay.
Who needs him?
Yeah. I'm my own right. man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need you.
You're not my dad.
You're not my dad.
No, so you're not my real dad.
That's right.
All right. You guys have made it inside the prison chamber and are find yourselves in between the walls, the outer wall, and have climbed up. And you reach the top of a ladder. And it's actually, you hear some sounds, and from this direction, if I can click properly, how did I click properly? Yes, from the, hopefully you can see some of that area. You
are
hear
still the same way? Why would we go up? Oh, it's a different group.
Well, we see evidence of a mass slaughter in the caves.
Follow that blood.
Yeah, no bodies, but you do hear some clanging and a male voice somewhat singing and humming.
They sound happy.
Yeah, happy singing.
They're hungry, yeah.
Coming from that direction.
Had a nice meal.
And the other direction is... no sounds necessarily, but somewhat dim lighting from that other direction.
Oh, there's a stain on the floor.
So I'm going to go meta for a second. Kyle, does this map look, remind you of anything?
Does it look familiar before?
Familiar? Perhaps we've in a different life.
Almost like a tavern in 1940s London.
Yeah.
Let's see how many saving rolls you can get before you fall in the hole. Anything?
Yeah. Barely not enough.
And the ghouls come out. All right. What would you like to do?
Well, which way do we want to go, gentlemen?
Towards the happy singing or the nothing?
Let's be happy.
Go investigate the singing.
Clang, clang, clang.
Let's go.
Yeah, he seems happy. Let's go talk to him.
Yeah.
All right. John's shaman.
Yes.
Starts approaching, and you see a small figure.
Yes.
Huddled over a fire, and he seems to be stirring a pot as if cooking something. Kyle's armorer, Ole Biscuit Barrel, sees a number of bags hanging from the ceiling, tied by rope. Maybe a rope about 3 feet long. You see about 7 or 8 of these cloth bags hanging. And beyond that, you also see another 7 or 8 torsos without arms or legs hanging from ropes from the ceiling as well, suspended by ropes of about a yard. You know, they're all just kind of hanging up there.
Humanoid or other animal?
Humanoid, yeah.
Oh,
as far as you can tell, and no heads.
Just that's disconcerting.
I think he's making up some soup of people that he's killed. So I think maybe we should dispatch this gentleman.
Feet.
Yeah, and at this point, you're close enough. You can tell that he's a dwarf of some kind, and he's got some pretty serious metal armor. You see a battle axe laid up against this kind of central rock. And he's got he's not entirely turned his back to you, but kind of from the side, and you've been able to creep up somewhat quietly.
Can we try to creep up even quieter and try to dispatch him without noticing him?
I don't know. It might be risky.
but we're only zero level characters.
We've got nothing to lose.
Do we have an assassin?
Yeah. I mean, how would you like to pull it off? Are you going to, just one of you going to go up there? Are you going to bum rush him with everybody?
The bum rushing sounds good.
I was going to say asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have one character kind of sneak up and do it, I'll probably call for some sort of agility roll.
Yeah, that agility check. That doesn't seem like you giving these guys. So, I would argue that I'm the least agile here. So,
there's really no argument about it. You're a 7 and a 6, so yeah. You guys got kind of screwed on the agilities, didn't you? Oh, well. Dice don't lie.
No.
All right, let's bum rush. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
All out melee.
All right, Joe. On
3.
Yeah. Uno, dos, tres.
1, 2, 5.
A blood curling cry as you rush up, and he's caught off guard and stumbles back. He drops his stirring spoon into the pot.
Yeah.
And he barely gets one hand on his axe by the time that you guys rush up. Oh my gosh, who are you? What's going on? Are you here because of her? Oh no! And he's kind of protecting himself with his axe. He hasn't been able to get to his shield.
Your singing voice offends us.
He's a lot less intimidating than he was last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're here because of she.
You That's are! Right. Oh, the lady in blue! Oh, she sent us here to our doom! Oh my gosh! Oh. He's kind of backing away into the corner as you approach.
Yeah. Drop your weapon, boy.
I'm sorry. He lays his axe down at his feet. I was tricked like you were. We all were tricked. And then I've lost my friends. I've lost my friends.
Lost them or cooking it them?
Just
been, are you cooking them?
No, I don't know who those people were. I mean, not people.
What are you cooking you?
A man's got to eat. There's nothing here. It's just rocks.
So you're eating other humanoids?
He kind of shrugs.
Well, I think we got to kill him.
Yeah, this is a bit too much for my taste.
Okay. Yeah, and
we want to just recruit him?
Well, we can try to recruit him if you want.
You're good. We'll call you a cookie. You could be our chef.
let him work off his
sense. It's true. He has at least one skill.
Mm-hmm. How are your biscuits?
He'll ask you later.
Oh, you're matzo balls.
Hey now.
Ty, if you may or may not notice, hobos wandered off.
We all noticed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like that. Ty approves of that tactic.
There might be stairs over there to guard.
Hobo is going on a deep flanking maneuver.
I see.
In the deep snake.
Flank right out of the cave.
Yeah, the hobo. The area is lit by. Remember those kind of large, glowy bug things that the other group saw before. Some of those are flying around, and there's also occasionally a hole in the wall that seems to go to the outside, and that brings some light in as well. So no torches, but just some natural and somewhat natural light coming in.
Anything he could pick up and put in his pockets, just, you know, since it clearly was abandoned laying over here?
No, pretty barren dirt floor this far.
No Hobo has a minus one on find secret doors, I just want to point that out.
Well, give me a really D20. Give me a roll if you, well, I don't know. Yeah, give me a roll, whatever.
When all else fails.
I gotta remember. Where's my basic D20 roll on this thing?
Top left. Is that dice picture?
Yep.
Oh, the main one for
There you go. Yeah. You do not find anything of interest.
Hobo's sure one day he's going to find a secret door.
he very well may.
And it's going to be a great day when he does.
This is not that day.
For a long
time. Not that day.
All right, group, are you closing in on this dwarf
person? Oh, yeah.
All right. You're able to dispatch him. He, like I said, he dropped his axe already. I'm one of you. And you finish him off.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Feet's a killer.
All right. He, you're able to overwhelm him without too much trouble. He is strong, but no match for the nine of you. Regardless of your capabilities, and he falls dead at your feet with a thud and a clang from his armor, and that's the end of the dwarf.
Has his armor? Does his armor fit anybody? Like another dwarf?
Any dwarfs?
We do have an armorer amongst us who could perhaps make an evaluation.
The armorer and could probably rig it for another dwarf. If somebody wanted it. Is is it plate mail?
I don't know.
It might be plate mail. Yeah, let's call it plate mail.
Fairly certain a couple weeks ago this guy would have killed all 10 of us. But,
yeah,
it's weird how things work.
He certainly changed his tune from.
Well, he did have 11 or 12 friends last time, so.
It's true.
And he was fighting from the back, and you guys were whittled down by that point. All right.
I could.
Did we have a dwarf? I can't
rig up the armor for.
Oh yeah.
For Guy Buttersnaps.
I don't have any dwarf
snaps.
Interesting.
Yeah, Guy, it's it fits you well enough, thanks to Ole's fine skills.
Who about the Frenchman? The French dwarf. got me, Guy. All right, I'm gonna check out these torsos.
Okay.
And see how old they are. And
they look.
And yeah, they're
all human, dwarf, elf. I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah, they're of various races. As far as you can tell, just based on size and I don't know, other features.
Like the previous party that we ran?
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, I don't know. these party members were unaffiliated or unknown to each other. Draw your own conclusion.
Crazy rutabaga farmer that went disappearing a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, there is
the rutabaga farmer. That's a good recollection there.
Yeah,
they seem to be they're kind of dried, cured perhaps in some way. Their arm stumps and leg stumps and neck stumps have all kind of cured over.
Hmm.
You've got
anything of value? Hans wants to know.
I mean, there are the sacks in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these headless torsos and sacks in the ceiling.
Hmm.
I'll investigate Hayek, the sack.
Yeah, Hayek's trying to assess if there's a market for headless torsos. What the carry cost would be for.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to
have sense. Someone else carry them.
Right. And Hobo's over in that dark corner because he thinks that's a pretty good place for a secret door to be.
Best.
Like if he was put in a secret door, he would probably put it over.
He'd put it right there. Yeah.
He wouldn't put it there now.
So I guess, first of all, Ole Biscuit Barrel, as you were kind of preparing the armor for Guy, you found a small whetstone that's kind of this opulent white rock of some kind, but it's shaped as such that it might be used to hone a blade on a weapon.
Fancy. Yeah. Although Ole Biscuit Barrel was carrying a hammer. So no blade. He could pick up the dwarven axe, though. Is that a pretty nice axe?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a well crafted. Armor might be your specialty, but enough about weapons crafting as well. That it seems to be a pretty legitimate battle axe.
Probably better than my hammer that I have.
Could be. Yeah.
So I might pick it up and see how the whetstone works on it.
All right, yeah, balance is pretty good and good crafting. Gersh, your character is checking out the bags.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody else is helping you out, but you guys can help yourselves to, let's call it, what did I say, 8 bags?
Sure.
Sure. I don't remember. That's what you said.
Go to the table.
Yeah,
you find 45 pieces.
of
adventure.
Sure.
What was that? What was that?
Pieces of what? Pieces or
silver pieces?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I did cut out. Silver pieces. 45 silver pieces, and there is one bag that has 7 gold pieces.
Ooh.
Woohoo!
And a brilliant blue topaz. It's a topaz. Brilliant blue topaz. It has rare clarity and depth for any of you that may know gems, which is your smugglers might know something about.
And the merchants.
Yeah. We don't talk to merchants.
For sure. No. I'll let you guys sort that out. That seems to be just about everything of interest. You're welcome to drag the headless, limbless bodies around. That's up to you. But
that's okay. I don't think you need to do that.
I'll keep track of all that stuff we just found in my inventory, so that way it's easier.
Yeah.
What's the?
I'll do this AC just in case you don't survive.
Yeah, that's easier. When you die, we can loot one body.
One body, exactly. Die, killed, one of the options.
Yeah. What was that, Kyle?
What's the AC on the plate armor?
I knew somebody was going to ask that.
I don't want to put you out.
But let's call it half plate. Half plate is a +7.
Holy crap. That's huge. Also, what's the speed modifier in that? Yeah.
Speed is -10 feet. Fumble die is a d16.
Yeah, so he can move 10 feet a turn.
Yeah, so your dwarf can move 10 feet.
Clank. Clank.
He's a tank. Clank. He's a tank.
At a 17 armor class.
It's kind of like one of those goal line stand plays where y'all push the quarterback.
That's right.
And the battle axe, let's see. That's a blackjack. Battle axe. 1d10.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's way better than my 1d4 club, so, or hammer.
Two handed weapon, so you use a d16 on your initiative check. All right. For any of those who check the pot,
sure.
Smells delicious.
Dewey staying away.
Tastes like chicken.
Smell a bit like pork?
Sure. certainly looks like that. It kind of is gray meat floating in a gray broth. The smell is quite good for a cave.
I don't think I'm quite that hungry yet.
No, we just got here.
Yeah.
Oh no, you haven't.
No, we haven't
just gotten here. It takes every bit of your willpower to resist the temptation of unknown gray meat. All right. All right. Dead dwarf. Kind of remove him. What would you like to do?
Shall we push on?
Yeah, push on. What else?
Push it off.
If we can up to the north there.
Yeah, and if it wasn't clear, you also the Lady in Blue also gave you the exact same quest and need you to free her, her ally, and she'll help you with your
almost as though she were reading from a script.
Your funny feelings. All right,
we're assuming it's the thing in the cave, right? Or the cage above the blue thing.
Cage.
Yeah, because we're supposed to free somebody.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think we are assuming it's the cage above the thing.
Okay.
So we have to go back around there. There's this is a dead end. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it appears to be a dead end. Right. I guess I didn't quite reveal everything.
There we go. All right. Let's go back where Hobo was pushing forward.
Hobo knew the way.
Oh, Hobo did not.
Hobo gets a small look of pride and then he'll ease. Because people rarely say nice things to him.
Well, yeah, you can be in charge.
Or to him, period.
Yeah, he is a hobo.
Angry hobo.
All right.
You got so he's going to try to generate some loyalty with the party, so he's going to race ahead on his little halfling legs as hard as he can.
And our tank will be in the way, way back.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get some wheels. Do we have like a scooter for him or a rascal?
He's gonna like finally get to the melee and everyone will be dead. Like, oh, well.
He's going up front if nobody else wants to.
Go ahead.
Go, hobo.
Yeah, let's
go, hobo. Go.
Yeah, it's moving too fast for our tank.
Go, hobo. Go, hobo.
It's pretty quiet, uninteresting. I say cave. It's, you know, it's kind of more of a. It's got more of a flora.
No fauna.
No fauna. Yeah.
Yet.
Hobo waits for the rest of the group to come up so that somebody with more social sway than him can decide which direction everyone's going.
I think you should go all the way to the left. Personality.
What now? Yeah. What was that, Jason?
Oh, you're talking smarts, not. I thought you were talking personality.
Well, no, just playing them. Stats really are basically zero modifiers, except for luck. Big minus one there. But I figure he's a vagrant. He's probably not someone that people are going to listen to. So.
I see. Halfling's naturally lucky. You end up with. Mm-hmm.
Hence him being a vagrant modifier. Halfling.
Down on his luck, halfling.
You don't really want Hobo to start talking about all the family drama that led to him
no.
being passed from the Shire. Really?
Yeah, I like John's idea of exploring the water up there.
Yeah,
Dewey will take the lead going.
There's a small pool that is kind of created from this dripping and from the walls, and I guess what kind of serves as a ceiling in this place.
So I've been watching a lot of Naked and Afraid lately. I think we should drink it.
Always drink the water.
Good idea.
No secret. No secret door there, hobo.
Tap, tap,
it
tap.
Looks like a, it looks like where you would put a secret door, though.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go in this deformed club over here.
Mm-hmm. That would be the testicle sack there.
So warm.
No matter what happens, the spirit of Dildo Helter always arrives.
All right, Dewey, you can kind of see down the way here a little bit. You see that the tunnel turns up ahead.
Okay. I'll slice the pie.
Okay. We're following.
Feed old join. Hans has a sling, so he kind of hangs out in the middle.
Nice.
Rain Hayek has a sling as well. He will hang out next to Hans.
He's willing to
trade market info.
Yeah, we'll talk smuggler talk.
Dewey, give me a... Gosh, there's really not a lot of skills in this game, are there?
No.
I'm like, where's... listen. Okay.
Call Cthulhu.
Exactly. Dewey, give me a intelligence roll.
Uh-oh. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Wow, that was a lot of rolling.
That was Ty's rolling, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are your silver pieces.
There's something wrong with my macro.
D20.
Nine.
Okay. That's pretty neat. Yeah.
You, yep. Dewey, you hear a little bit of kind of moaning.
Good moaning or bad?
Good question.
Not that kind. Kind of from around the corner up ahead, not too far away. Just out of sight. Perhaps from where you are.
Curious.
And perhaps you kind of signaled to the rest of the party that.
Yeah, I'll kind of motion that I hear something. And I guess I'll.
Sounds
like. I'm going to play Dewey as curious as the wizard's apprentice out on his own.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to fill in his grimoire. So I'll try to learn the names of his name. And exactly.
All right.
He's underwater basket weaving.
Ooh.
You make it through the little passageway there, and you come upon a humanoid creature who is laying on its side. I mean, he's not face down. But you can't see its face. He's kind of laying on its side. And he's kind of, I said groaning or moaning. And
is it humanoid?
Yeah, it's human size, humanoid. I mean, it looks like a human. You just can't see its face. It's wearing, I'll call it peasant's clothing, you know, cloth pants. And he's only got one boot on. You see this foot sticking out. He's got a vest and a tattered and dirty, what would normally be a white shirt underneath the vest. But basically you see the back of its head, and its head is buried in its arms. And it's,
I'll look at feet and kind of, should we talk to this thing, or should we just kill it?
Yeah, he thinks we should talk.
Okay. All right.
So feet comes over and lovingly puts his hand on his shoulder.
Puts his foot on it.
Tenderly.
Shh. Yeah. Hey, is everything okay?
And this,
hello?
This man turns over, and he turns over, and in fact, he looks human, and he's sweating profusely, and his face is all red. His hair is dampened from the sweat. You imagine that he's been kind of covering his body. You actually see the sweat is soaked his arms, the shirt that on top of his arms, and
he doesn't have a very good antiperspirant.
No, and he his face is beet red, but his face is pale white, you also see the yellow lines on the map. You see this ladder from the ground of this chamber that leads basically straight up through the ceiling into darkness above. So quite some distance.
I don't see any yellow lines.
Yeah, I don't see
any yellow. Oh, you don't? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we
can do. There's yellow lines.
What are you going to do?
Theater of the mind.
Is everything okay? Because we randomly killed a dwarf that was trying to be nice to us, so...
It wasn't that nice. That way. He was eating people.
It wasn't random. I mean, we pretty deliberately.
It's pretty deliberate. So. That's true.
Yeah.
Like we said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. He was the only one there. So.
Is everything okay, buddy?
Does
he have any recollection that I'm speaking to him? Or
there's the letter. Oh, I'm by the letter.
He doesn't respond with any words.
Yeah, he's food for the pot back there. So
it's the guy we're supposed to rescue.
Whoops!
I think it's time to go up the ladder, boys.
And we're gonna do an airplane scene. Keep shaking him, stand in the line, smacking him.
Get a hold of yourself, man.
Yeah. All right. So he does he even recognize that there's people here, or he's just.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, he seems to be in excruciating pain, feverish.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Are you guys serious, or are you going to smack him around, or are you going to leave him?
No. I was going to
see if he can snap out of it.
Some of that rope that was holding the bags up, I'm going to tie him up.
Oh, I thought you could throw some water on him and try to wake him up.
Oh, well, that's nicer.
That is nicer, but... Maybe got some water. Should we get some water from the seeping ooze over there and throw it on him?
A little ooze to the face.
Yeah,
snap him out of it. That.
Let's do that.
I'm sorry. What's really happening? What's really?
Follow along.
What's really pretend happening?
We're We're getting some of the water from the other room and throwing it on his face to wake it, see if we can wake him up. How about that?
Okay. So, yeah, so the water splashes and he kind of comes to and he kind of comes to, his eyes open, and he looks kind of groggy, but then they kind of open a little bit wider as he kind of sees that he's surrounded by 10 figures.
Yeah.
And he starts to transform in front of you, and these tendrils shoot out from his shoulders and the end of his hands, and these black inky kind of webby fingers extend perhaps 8 to 10 feet, and they're shooting all over the place. And they're maybe about as thick as a branch on a small tree, and each one has this mouth on the end like a lamprey, ready to chomp at you.
Let's kill this motherfucker.
I'm going to yell at Pete. I told you we should have killed him.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Why don't you give me dex rolls or initiative rolls? D20s, except for Kyle's dwarf. He's got a D6.
Oh, yeah.
D20.
Yeah. And just one for both your characters.
Yeah.
Boom, look at that.
That's good. Not as good as mine, though.
Rex going off.
Oh,
John, you and me.
John.
Oh, that's quality.
Killing it.
Six.
I think that means I'm going to get another beer.
Yeah.
Kyle, yeah, rocking it. And there we go. Gersh.
Yeah,
Gersh got a one as well. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Amazing. Well done, guys.
No problem.
All right. Yeah, these tendrils and webby things and mouths and the clothes are tearing off, and he's transforming in front of your eyes. His mass increases, probably triples to the size that it was. His hair is flying off his head. His ears are bulging out. His skull is cracking open. But Rex gets to go first.
He's on it, doggone it.
So Hayek is going to use his sling to try and hit him, and I don't know that I don't have that built in yet. So I wonder if I can just hit a combat roll and
just a d20.
Probably not. I'll just see what happens if I hit attack. No bonus. What'd it do?
AC3, not great.
That's weird, but I don't know why maybe it just defaults to shovel if you don't have a weapon plugged in. So, okay. Well, that's not going to work.
That is not going to work.
And a hobo lets out what would be a blood-curdling scream if everyone else was halflings. but since everyone else is not halflings, it just sounds kind of like a shrill peep. And he charges in and swings at his club.
Nice.
For the Shire! And here hits his roll. Yep. Oh, aha, look at that.
the mighty deuce. Okay. Yeah, not so great. The creature is just far too fast and swirling around you for you to catch up with it. Kyle.
That was okay. Go ahead.
So is everybody in range that's in the room?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of think of it like he's like that now, so you got quite a bit more space to work with for attacking.
I could use some room to get in. If you're thinking about moving and doing something.
I'm messing with my character sheet. Hang on.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't do anything except anybody's character sheet.
Slacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seemed like a lot of work for a bunch of dead people.
Well, because it looks like Guy Buttersnaps, his stats and stuff are in there. So that was interesting.
You said, is that from last time? I mean, I didn't change anything.
They might be.
I mean, it's Dwarf Rat Catcher. That's what I have.
14 strength?
Oh, wait, no, it's a 15.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Unless you change it, I didn't change it. Okay. All right, so what would you like to do?
Well, he's going to attack with his club.
Mm-hmm. The mighty club. You got a plus one on that?
I do.
Good now.
Mm-hmm. That's not good or anything.
You guys are killing it. It's great.
Doing as good as we did last time. And I think Ole Biscuit Barrel's right next to him. We can swing his shiny new axe.
Shiny axe. Yeah, I think you're unskilled in that. I forget what that means, but let's just roll and see what happens.
And I think his strength is at least 12. Everything else is single digits, but
yeah.
Quality characters.
Oh,
nice. He's gonna hit with the axe. That's a 1d10 damage, right?
So. That is pretty brutal. Yeah, and for what it's worth, I know some. I've been reading online, and I forget how Rex does it or Duck does it. I mean, the way I play is that even level zeros, you've got your luck. I mean, if you want to spend luck for anything, go ahead.
It's like he does 6 damage.
6 damage. Oh wow, these black oily tendrils are sliced off, cleaved off by this two-handed axe and fall at your feet, flopping around, and this black ooze rolls out of it. Oh, that's disgusting. All right, nicely done. Let's see. The creature is quite angry at you, Buttersnaps.
I think I go first.
Oh, he had an initiative bonus that wasn't reflected in that roll.
Very curious.
He's fast.
very curious. Rolling behind the screen.
This long, ropey arm reaches out to you, Guy Buttersnaps. Oh, my goodness.
Well, his 17 armor class isn't going to save him this time.
Yeah, that's not going to help you on a natural 20. Let's see what we got here.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be dead.
Monster crit. Let's see what we got going on here.
Yeah.
How do I know what to roll for a monster crit? Is it just always d20? What would it be?
It would. There's different crit tables, and I'm trying to remember.
I mean, there's a monster table, but I forget. Is it based on hit dice?
Did you make this monster up, or did you just grab it out of the...
He's in the book,
DCC.
Yeah.
Because it would normally tell you somewhere in his stats, like, what his crit table is. That's my recollection, but I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong.
All right, perfect.
Just saying.
I think you're wrong.
You're
gonna make me go look this module up. So...
I mean, I guess it matters to learn how to do it, but he has 2 hit points, so he's going to be dead. I mean, regardless of what the role is,
it's going to consume
more than 2 hit points.
It's based off their hit dice, of which he has 2d8. So I guess you just call that 2.
So Ty, are you saying he's falling on the monster's crit table as opposed to like the dragon's crit table?
Dragon, demon, yeah. So I'm just calling it the M table.
Got it.
2 hit dice. I read that as a D8 and just for, Kyle, for learning purposes. Oh my gosh. The tendril bursts through, pierces your chest and does an additional 2d6 damage. Plus an additional 1d6 next round, which
I thought
we need to worry about.
This armor would save me. Now it's become my tomb.
Yeah, and in fact, it acid heat melts through the metal, bores into your chest, and you cease to be.
It's keep coming.
So, and I reflexively trigger my flamethrower and collapse. <to
them>. All right, Jason, you are up.
All right, Dewey is there. So he's just gonna try to take a tentative stab.
A poke.
Yeah. He's not a very strong wizard's apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Nice. One day we'll see.
Oh, and it's a 19.
Nice. And let's just check what was your I don't know if we have the appropriate weapon in there for you, but
it's a dagger.
Yeah. It's a dagger. So another 3.
I put my stats in there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that looks like it's a 9 damage total. Yeah, the black ooze, the black ichor is starting to spray out in different directions and splashes on the floor and on some of your bodies and clothing and equipment and things. He's roar! That's an angry roll.
Dewey has an empty flask and he's going to try to gather some of this ichor in it for studying later.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Maybe use it in a potion or something.
Yeah.
Hayek could be willing to discuss some type of arrangement where you could use his waterproof stack for a period of time.
We can talk.
Maybe a small down payment and a
20% interest.
Just take a cut of the profits when you make this thing.
Let's save the business deal for a time when the giant pseudopod-ridden creature is not attacking you.
Can Louis sneak by here since Biscuit didn't get out of the way?
Sure. Yeah. Biscuit.
Is that right? I don't know. That's all I could see.
That's fair. Yeah. No, it's just
buttermilk biscuits. And he will also take a tentative stab with his -1 strength with his dagger.
It did you well before.
Yeah.
13. Yeah. You just even with a tentative strike, managed to find a black, soft, fleshy area.
Mm-hmm. Subtlety, gentlemen. Subtlety. Not brute strength.
All right, that was Jason. John or Gert, you guys can fight it out.
Rochambeau.
Mersh, are you here? If you're not here, I'm going to go. All right, I'm going to go. I'll attack.
Okay.
Let's take...
I was muted, but you go, John. I'll go after you.
It all works out.
Your punishment for muting yourself.
All right, so Anthrax knows with his pitchfork. We'll come after him. What's my attack bonus? -1. Nice.
No, that was both of you. Okay.
No, that was one of the characters. I don't know why I hit it twice, but.
Oh, okay.
I guess the first one, and then my not the lesser. He will attack.
He's got a mace. Nice.
Yeah, and that's still not going to do anything, I don't think.
Swing and a miss. All right, Gert, you got
good damage rolls, though, at least.
Yeah, that doesn't help us much, does it?
All right, you ready for me to miss?
Really hard.
Here we go. I think I entered everything correctly. So Feet McKenzie's going to just step over here in case someone wants to come on the other side. Yep, that's about right.
The swarm.
And Hans will go to the corner, wind up his mighty sling.
Nice. What does Hans sound like?
Yeah, this is good.
There you go.
Going to hit
that's what I was looking swing. For.
Ah.
Now we're doing as good as we did last time.
Wow. Hey, I didn't throw water on the damn thing. That was John's idea, let me just say.
Not my best idea, was it?
All right. The creature is enraged. And turns to Jason. Rex, I mean. Rex, you're up first.
So Hayek's gonna sling again, see whether that gets any better result this time. And now I've got the sling actually programmed in, so let's see what we get. And 11.
The shot is wide. Mm. Bounces off the ceiling. Ching.
Hobo feels at this point that he's so small in comparison to the monster, it may not actually even realize he's there. So he'll step up and swing one more time and see.
Hope springs eternal.
Well, you know. Well, he's also, he is looking to see if there's a secret door inside the monster.
We did go through a hole in the
only place he hasn't checked
door. Because that would be a very clever place to hide a secret door. Because most people wouldn't even look there.
The scary, deadly creature. Give me a secret door check.
Oh, nice. A portal opens.
So I think I'm going to roll luck check because I actually have minus one because of my minus one luck. So let's see what happens if I roll this.
Oh!
No secret door. Why don't you attack with your club instead?
So I get a rage bonus because there's no secret door?
No.
And here it comes. Oh!
Sadly, no dice.
No bad Kyle. Dice. There's dice.
There's plenty of dice. Kyle. What is right. What is Butter Biscuit?
Poor Guy is dead, but Ole Biscuit Barrel still has his shiny axe. And he's gonna swing
still
it
in the fight.
At the massive tentacles
swirling around you.
Let's see if I entered this right.
Not quite.
What's a nine valiant damage?
He's the guy that needs to hit to kill this thing.
Man.
He's got that big D10.
Let's see. All right. Let me. The creature rears and turns to Feet McKenzie.
What do you win today?
And with a roar. 7, that'll hit armor class. +2, 9. Probably not good enough. These wet, floppy
gross
tendrils slap and with a splat on the wall around your feet, but miss you. Let's see who's up next. I think Jason.
All right. I'm ducking and weaving. Trying to find that
sweet spot.
That's right. Dewey's coming in with that sweet, sweet dagger.
Nice.
Jab, jab, jab. Stick, stick, stick. Mm. And he misses. It looked really good, though.
Yeah.
and Louis, very subtly again, comes in.
Oh,
fumble.
Three on the fumble table.
Fumble-a-ya.
Stunning crack to the forehead. Inflict. Oh, it's critical. Fumble 3. Your weapon comes loose in your hand. You quickly grab it.
Tink,
but
tink,
your
tink.
Grip is disrupted. You take a -2 penalty on your next attack roll.
All right.
Fumble, fumble, fumble. Come, 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 come. John.
Yep. Well, let's try to attack again.
I will note that no one has hit the creature this turn. No, I take that back. No, that was last turn.
All right. So we are attacking with Anthracnose first. Minus one. Not so good.
Not so good. This creature is just too tough. A thick hide.
And why not the lesser? He is going to go with his attack at a plus one.
Feel free. Oh, 13 for 5 damage. Ouch. Is that the right damage?
Yeah.
15. Oh, that's, or 5. That's 15 total. Oh. The creature lets out a massive groan and falls dead at your feet with a splat.
Wow.
Only one
of you
gonna
kill everything we see from now on.
There's not much to him. If you give him a quick check, I mean, he's just this big, sloppy, wet, sweaty mess of black, oozy, ropey tendrils and
entrails.
Yeah. And he is
quite dead, though.
Nothing else other than the ladder heading up into the hole in the ceiling.
Well, let's keep on keeping on.
All right. Why don't you guys give me it's one at a time.
Okay.
So I'm just lining it in that direction. The shaman is first as it's currently, and Biscuit Barrel last. So you guys want to reorder, but it's basically one up the ladder at a time at this point.
Yeah, that's fine.
Biscuit Barrel's not going first.
You don't want to go last either. Here, I'll go.
What's the irony that our guy with the highest armor class was the only one that got killed?
So do we? Hey, before we go up, I mean, do we
don't take, loot anything?
Do we want to take anything off of Guy Buttersnaps? I mean,
do we have any dwarves?
Oh, the armor has a giant hole through the middle of it.
Yeah. Fine.
Just about a scratch.
He had 50 feet of rope and a net. So if we need a net for some reason.
Yeah, we should take that.
We'll take the rope in case we got to rappel down from the
giant. No other dwarves among the party?
I'm all human.
Wow. How's that for representation?
There you go.
I guess we are just not a Walmart commercial during Christmas time.
No diversity for us.
No. Nope.
All right. How's that order for you guys? You guys good?
I'm fine. Yep. That's fine.
All right. Shaman is leading the way. That is Minot, right? So Minot begins his way up. The ladder heads up into darkness. And after maybe about a minute climb, the ladder kind of stops, and kind of like I was describing to Rex earlier, there are holes in the wall that kind of let in some occasional external light, natural light. And the ladder is kind of run out, and now you find these small handholes. Certainly, you know, carved into the wall here. I mean, it's not a natural occurrence. Someone or something has carved some pretty regular handholes that allow you to continue to climb.
All right.
And after another couple minutes, Shaman, Minot, I should say, you find a skeletal arm protruding from the wall. So think of this as kind of a tunnel, a shaft, really, leading straight up.
Okay.
For some distance, and sticking out of the wall at some point after several minutes of climbing is this, again, the skeletal human arm. It, you know, lengthwise, it appears to be a human arm.
Nothing, just skeleton, no fingers or no rings or anything?
Yeah, there's enough kind of rock material. I mean, there's no flesh or anything. I mean, it's really skeletal, but there's enough stuff around it to kind of keep it together. And you do see partial fingers. And the rocks in that area are loose in the wall.
So it's like mud almost, or is it like loose dirt? Or
yeah, you know, I was kind of describing kind of a vegetation-like material of the wall. I mean, it's kind of more, I guess, more dirt than rock. Okay. Yeah, something's keeping the arm together, but it's also the wall itself at this point is loose.
All right, but we can keep going past it.
You could, yep.
I'm gonna keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, all coves haven't treated us very well.
No.
No. All right. All right. So you keep climbing then, right? There's.
Yes, correct.
All right. You climb up, perhaps another 60 feet, and you reach the top of the shaft at that point.
Okay.
And at the top of the shaft, it opens up into an area that is perhaps 30 feet by 30 feet.
Okay.
And you kind of peer out over this area, and it actually kind of disappears into what kind of your experience tells you is the open area of the large indoor area. Remember where that large creature was sleeping from before? You know, perhaps 30 feet away, the ground ends, and it opens up into the indoor area of this kind of prison, I'll call it. Let me see if I can give you something to look at here. Mm-hmm. All right.
1-1.
All right. Yeah. So you can see the ladder, hopefully, here on the left.
Yeah.
And the ladder goes up, up, up. You pass that skeletal arm sticking out.
Which is 1-9, my
1-9. Stay away from 1-9. It's an encounter.
From 1-9. And you're up there at the top of the this area, and it opens. And so kind of in right here is what I was saying. It opens up, and beyond this area, you can kind of see what looks like, I'll give you a little bit more, even further. You know, it's the top of that dome. And off in the distance, you can see some of those bugs, the glowy bugs with the brains for heads.
Buzzing around.
Flying around in the distance, lighting up the area.
What's that bulbous thing that's like?
Yeah, kind of right there. Kind of right there. I can't click.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah, well, I don't know. You want to go take a closer look?
Well, the only thing that happens, we die.
That's right.
Yeah, you actually get close enough to the ledge there, and you actually kind of start to see this branch sticking out. And
it's a good thing we brought that rope.
If you were to peer out, really good look at the inside here.
Interesting. Right?
And so you guys. You guys are kind of standing up here at the edge of the cliff looking down. You see this branch sticking out several dozen feet from the side and hanging from that. And when you first arrived, you saw this some sort of cage from far below, and still sleeping at the quite far below is that giant beast of a creature down below.
Okay. We should probably get this rope and try to lower somebody down on the branch.
Somebody tiny like a halfling.
Yeah.
I was just waiting.
A lucky little person.
Yeah. Waiting for that.
Yeah, the branch is probably, it's listed there, 10 feet below the ledge. It's about 6 feet wide at its widest point.
Yeah.
Gotta be
some secret doors down there.
you figure you could probably do something with the rope. A jump is somewhat risky, but also an option.
The rope sounds a hell of a lot better idea to me.
Hobo's willing to go down the rope. Obviously, he doesn't have a rope. He's a beggar.
Well, no, we got a rope that we can let Hobo go down the rope. Sure,
the Hobo will go down. That birdcage looks like a place that he might be able to live.
Yeah, he can get some eggs there. Maybe find some moonshine.
You know, John, I dislike the implication you're making about someone who's vagrant.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Ty, I've been triggered.
Go to your safe space.
All right, so what's the general plan?
Hobo will go down the rope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the crew fashions a way for you to be attached to the rope and starts to lower you down, and you start to make that short journey to the edge of the branch there.
Okay.
I'm sorry there, old chap.
Oh, no.
I asked that you and your friends stop this silly nonsense.
Who says that?
He didn't ask us.
The spider dude thing.
Spider dude?
He probably killed a few of us along the way. Oh. Like on the way up there.
So Hobo's trying to figure out where this voice is coming from.
Yeah, I'm still trying to... Oh, look at the big giant pumpkin head is sprung forth from unknown area and pops poor Hobo into his mouth and with a crunch it disappears. Oh, sorry about that, old chap.
Found his final secret door.
You know how it is, though.
Last secret door.
The frayed end of the rope is kind of swaying in the light breeze of the large dome. But the giant pumpkin head creature has disappeared with, you hear this faint chewing fade into the background.
It does seem to buy us some time when he kills somebody. So we could send somebody else down.
I'm out of halflings. So.
Do we roll roll a tear for the hobo?
Right, feet will go down next.
All right, going down by rope.
Because if he eats, yeah, I'll go down by rope. Because if he eats me, it'll be disgusted by the taste of feet.
Okay.
Feet does not taste good.
No, it does not.
Too much tramp on them.
Unless you have a foot fetish, you know.
So you're lowered down by the rope to the branch. Without incident, and fortunately, your comrades are quite handy with rope, and you're close enough from this vantage point. You can actually see how the cage is kind of woven. You actually see within the cage this wretched-looking creature. It's kind of got a slender form, suggesting something feminine. And this dark, dark green skin. And from your direction, she is sitting, holding her knees. And in addition to the skin, which you can kind of see from her arms, she appears to have a green cloak around her shoulders. So you can see her pretty well through the woven cage.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically turned to you and hasn't noticed you at this point.
All right, I'll call down. Hello. Could I climb down this weave?
I mean,
looking at the size references, like 8 foot long things, like I don't know. I'll climb down the weave.
Okay.
Try to call
give me a strength check.
No, that's not going to work. All right.
versus a DC 11.
Oh, that's definitely not going to work.
Yeah. Who was doing this? Feet?
Feet.
Well, Feet's got a 10. Oh. 17. Okay.
Oh.
Nailed it.
She, as you said something, and she looks up, and she sees you starting to climb down. She goes, Are you here to torment me? Please.
And do please. We remember the name? Would please.
Please.
What kind of story is this turning into?
Please have mercy. No more pain.
Oh, okay. I thought she was asking for torment.
No, to torment. She's one of those.
Please.
Please have mercy. No more pain.
What's the name of the person we're supposed to rescue?
Something happened last time we said it. So I don't know. Do we say it? It was Drezta?
Yeah, Drezit.
or it's a name we're not supposed to say, I guess. That's true.
Yeah.
Do we have the name of the person?
Jason Louis feels this shudder.
Son of a bitch.
Go through his. This cold void curses through his blood.
Is that a bad shudder or a good shudder?
It's bad.
I don't know. It's the same as she wants to be tortured. I think we're here to rescue her.
And Jason, I'm not sure that. Or excuse me, John, I don't think you quite got it out. I'll give you a break.
All right.
Or maybe not. Maybe Jason's getting the break. Maybe Louis's getting the break. You're here for me? Oh, thank the gods. Thank you. Thank you.
You might have been here for this tentacle guy we just killed, but we're not too sure.
You must open the cage.
Where's the door?
And she kind of points you to this area. You'll see the sticks kind of sticking out at the bottom of the cage. You see what appears to be a door.
Okay.
And she says, but I must ask you to sacrifice. The only way to open it is with blood. You must insert your hand and accept the pain it brings.
What's in the box?
I am not the Quiddux Zedek or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
All right. The mind killer. All right. I will pause.
Station identification.
What do you mean, pain?
The lock must be fed with blood, but it may be painful. I can't say how painful, but this I know.
Why didn't you just stick your arm in and been free of this place?
I can't reach it, and he keeps me in here.
He? The giant below us?
No, his minion. Cur Maxima. He's evil.
Probably Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, is he a pumpkin spider?
No, don't refer to him. It brings me too much pain.
She brought it up.
Quibble about it.
Hurry, we don't have much time. He
was there any
back.
Flesh on that arm that was hanging around?
Oh, good call.
Good call. Is it
back on the ladder?
He said
Skeletal. Yeah, skeletal. There's no blood. All right.
We should have brought Guy Buttersnap's arm with us. Oh, yeah.
I work with my hands though.
And your name's Feet.
Maybe I can put a foot in. All right. What the fuck? I'll well, we're here for a mission. I feel a calling to do what I was meant to do.
Yeah, the yes. Your devotion to the Lady in Blue.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
I'll lose right. Zero level character.
Give me a fortitude roll.
No.
At DC 12.
Bam. Bam.
Nine. You feel this sharp pain on your arm and you pass out and Feet McKenzie falls 120 feet.
Oh!
Not quite, actually. He bounces off the large creature's head.
Isn't he tied to a rope?
No.
Be dangling there.
Yeah,
no, I used the rope to get down to the branch, and then I climbed down. So.
Okay, yeah. That's right. You were freelancing.
Well, 50 feet. Let's take a look here. Let's see.
It'll get about there.
Yeah,
50 feet. What, how much damage?
I looked at it earlier.
I'll give you a luck roll if you want to save them. Try to save them.
Luck roll, huh? Oh, yeah. Why not?
You're a nine.
Might as well.
Nine. Oh, no. Yeah, he falls, bounces off the head of the large creature. Creature kind of stirs for a moment. He looks down at his chest and picks up McKenzie. Picks him up and holds him between his forefinger and thumb and shrugs his shoulders and pops feet into his mouth.
I love the sound effect.
He goes back to
sleep. Give him heartburn feet.
I hope so.
Poor feet, McKenzie. Was it feet singular or feets, McKenzie?
Oh, just feet singular.
Just feet. Okay. Well, the X feet, McKenzie.
Feet.
No,
not singular.
Make sure how to sell it.
The feminine creature inside the cage is no, save me, no. I didn't must unlock the door. No, you did not.
Oh no.
So that's two that are. That are
next.
That we've lost. Yeah. Another volunteer.
I'll send Dewey down.
All right, Dewey. Yeah, you find yourself in front of the door. Yes! Oh, what have I done to deserve this? You've been so kind and so committed. You must free me.
Got seven more chances.
But the door accepts blood only.
So I'm going to.
You must
put
your hand in the lock and accept the pain it brings, but do it quickly.
I'm gonna like shush her. Like, I'll do it on my own time.
Yes. Take your time. It's difficult.
What does the opening look like in the door, where one might put a hand?
Yeah, think of a keyhole, but large enough that you can put an arm into.
And how big are these flying things?
I think I described it as like as big as a softball or a cantaloupe.
Would it fit inside the a cantaloupe? Wouldn't. But a softball might. Could I like juice one of those in there?
Yeah, you wanna stuff one in there?
Yeah, I wanna try to catch one and stuff it in there.
Okay. Give me a dex roll. Or what do we have? Not dex, we've got agility roll.
And this is Dewey.
Or what do we call it?
That's a one.
That is a one. Oh,
oops,
my goodness.
Somebody's falling to his death.
You all, yeah, I'm sorry. You've lost your footing as you reach. You reach and fall.
Another volunteer.
This time.
Remember me, master.
Was this Louis or Dewey?
Dewey.
Dewey, okay. Yeah. This time he falls not on a creature's head, but on his belly and bounces for a moment. But the last thing he sees is this wide gaping mouth as the creature throws him into his mouth before he falls asleep again. Well, this is going well.
He can join the noble ranks.
He still has two people.
Yeah, exactly. John is the last
one. You know what? We didn't. What's everyone drinking? Now that we're an hour and a half in before everybody dies.
Bushmills 16. Let's
get the important stuff out of the way.
I've had a couple of rye and chinar? And now I'm working on some beer. So.
Rye and chinar?
Yeah.
Like 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1.
Nice.
So Manhattan with chinar, basically.
Yeah. I approve.
I got about half a glass of a red Italian left. That I brought back from my trip last year.
Bushmills 16 for me.
Nice.
Drinking a little Pinot Noir myself.
Oh, classy.
Classy.
Look at that.
Classy as fuck.
Pinot Noir at nighttime is very appropriate.
What about you, Jason? What are you having?
I am drinking Teacher's Highland Cream.
Ooh.
Which is a peated blended scotch. Hmm. I almost went with the J&B in honor of Kyle, and then realized I don't like it that much.
it's not great. Not by itself anyway. Got it. Yeah. It's fine for mixing scotch drinks.
So then, having
it by itself, not good.
I almost got a Johnny Red, which I like, but this Teacher's I've heard good things about, and it was cheaper, and they had one bottle left. It was almost sold out. So.
Famous Grouse is another good.
That's my go-to blend. Is
blended, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the Scots drink, apparently.
It is. And Gersh, what is the Gersh drinking?
Even more Jesus.
Even
more Jesus. Buddy.
I'm gonna need more.
It's the name of the Imperial Stout from Evil Twin Brewing. And they have a chocolate flavored stout, which is called Even More Cocoa Jesus.
All right. Nice effort, guys.
Yeah.
Well, right, not in the game itself. We're
done. Oh yeah, I mean,
no, just drinking. That's why we're here. Just an excuse to drink.
All right. So you need to be the sacrifice now.
Yes, sure. Please.
Yeah, we'll send down. Oh hell, let's send down Anthracnos because he's got a bad name.
Okay. Are you going to rope you up again, or are you going to?
I don't know. Are we going to rope me up? Didn't seem to help the other guys, did it?
No, got
well, we didn't rope all the way down. We just kind of.
All right, rope me to
you
the.
Stay, oh, yeah, maybe tie off.
Yeah. Yeah, rope me down. Might as well.
Okay. Yeah, they rope you down to the branch, and you can scamper down the side of the cage if you'd like, back to the door.
Okay. And
oh my goodness, another one gone. But my hero is here. You can save me.
Yeah, I doubt it. But so we got to stick my hand in the end of the hole, as it were. Do some fisting.
Potentially, yeah.
All right.
Yes, only the blood of those pure and true.
Yeah.
She should have said that before I tried to catch that fly.
All right, so I stick my hand in there. What do I need to roll?
Give me a fortitude roll.
A fortitude roll.
Yeah. Difficulty class 12. 17! And Anthracor. Oh, the pain surges through your arm and you take 1 point of damage.
I hope you got more than one.
I'm down to half, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my guy's got 1 hit point.
He's got 1 hit point left.
The door basically is made of this kind of fabric, plant-like fabric that kind of dissolves in front of you and opens up. And at that point, the creature stands up, and what you thought was a green cloak actually was these giant bat-like wings, and they spring open and are perhaps about 12 feet wide, and she's got this long green hair that flows down, and she's almost skeletal. She's humanoid, but certainly not human. And she lets out a, "I'm free!" and flies by you and bursts into the cave and starts flying around saying, "Where is he? Where is he?" And she's certainly looking for something, and very quickly she dives into the side of the wall and with these giant claws pulls that pumpkin-headed creature before. And, you know, he's about as big as a truck. And she just basically, through brute strength and claws, rips him through one of the walls and starts tearing him apart. And you see these large chunks of pumpkin-like flesh bouncing around. Oh, no, no!
And then Hobo falls out.
Yeah.
Still alive.
And then the strangest thing happens. The realm around you begins to crumble, but not in a physical way, in more of kind of a magical way. The colors start to fade, the walls start to crumble, the air and earth and sky start to fade to white. And you guys are just kind of sitting there, kind of stuck in a stupor, unable to do anything. The creature that you freed is no longer seen, and ultimately even the large creature that was at the ground of the prison has disappeared, and all that's left is this whiteness, and you begin to fall and fall and fall. You're not sure if you're falling up or falling down or left or right, but slowly this black dot starts coming at you, and it gets larger and larger and larger, and what you thought was a dot actually looks like an opening, and perhaps is even another hole in the sky. And you find yourselves and you fall through the hole and you land and you find yourselves back at the cliff. Looks almost like as the area it. That you left. And lovely standing town of there, your ears pop. The air feels initially foreign and exotic, but ultimately you acclimate to it, and it begins to feel like home again. And there she is, the lady in blue, waiting for you. As if no time had passed, in fact. And again, if you remember, she has an expressionless statue face, statuesque face. But with a flourish, she holds up her arms and holds up five severed heads who seem to be crying, but not tears of sadness, but tears of joy. Since you had seen this before, you will note that these heads are five different heads than you saw when your journey first started, your meeting with her first started. And there is one head that would have been known to you had you been the prior party, but no one here would know it. It might have been Dasher being held up in her hand. You remember Dasher, the one who turned down her plea for aid. And then the heads begin to speak through their tears. We congratulate you. We knew the moment that Dresda was free. But from this moment on, you are my allies. I will be watching over you. I will be sending you luck and opportunities that I can from my hiding place in the dark quarter of our shared existence. The time is not right for me to confront our enemies directly. If I were to project my real form into this world, they would instantly be aware of my presence and can marshal all their forces for an attack I am not yet prepared to answer. But have no fear. I am already working on gathering my allies. The first of which is Dresda. Oh, how good it is to say her name aloud without fear of discovery. Soon, our gathered power will be too great to resist. And then we shall strike and chase our enemies from reality itself. And on that day, my brave warrior allies, yours shall be the dominion of the world. And she turns her back to you and she waves her arm. And at that point, the fabric of reality tears again and opens up. And once again, you see the spinning wheel, the large black monolithic type wheel that you saw before when your meeting with her first happened at the side of the cliffs. And this large swirling energy is appearing behind this hole. And she beseeches you. And as your reward, I give you the opportunity to spin the wheel of destiny and fulfill your true calling. And thunder and lightning crackle behind her as this purple and black swirling storm. And this large black wheel is turning and turning and turning and turning. And she turns to you. Who shall be first to spin the wheel?
I'll send Anthrax up. So
there you go.
Okay. Come, my warrior friend. Spin the wheel. And to do so, you'll need to step into this other world beyond the Terran fabric, the Terran fabric of reality.
All right.
You ready to step through?
Yeah.
Wind is blowing in your face. All right, John. Your character.
Yep.
Do you have your special die?
Yeah, I do. D20.
Tell me about your D20. Where does it come from?
It's an old.
What do you know about it?
I've had it for almost 40 years, actually. Mm-hmm. 1979. So.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it's a Zucchi game science dice. So
nice.
Nice. So you could say that this die has been with you as you have been working to fulfill your destiny.
You could say that, yes.
All right. I need you to roll. First roll that D20.
Yep.
And then I need you to make a luck check.
Okay. Here's the D20. Let's see. I rolled a 13.
13. Okay.
All right. Do you need a luck check?
Yeah. Give me the luck check next.
Okay. Where is that? Just on the luck. There we go. A one. 18.
Okay, this is a luck check. Okay, so you actually failed your luck check. So just as you're getting ready to spin the wheel, you have a brief sensation that the lady in blue is not what she appears to be, and some force is playing you for a fool.
Yeah, well, we knew that, so.
We're good with that.
It's all right. Part of the experience.
Anthracnos. Your destiny has been changed. First of all, you get a +1 permanent change to your luck score.
Woohoo!
I think it takes you up to 10.
Okay.
And I need you to re-roll your birth sign. Okay, birth augur. So give me a D30.
A D30?
Mm-hmm.
D30. Where is that on here?
Yeah, you might have to.
/ R D30.
Yeah.
So. / R. Oops.
Space D30. Yeah.
14. All right, your current birth sign is Warrior's Arm. Critical hit tables, or will affect critical hit tables. You have the option of taking on the sign of the Raging Storm, which would apply your luck modifier, which is currently 0, to spell damage.
Okay, that's the option?
Yes, you can keep your current sign or take your new sign. You can accept your new destiny or retain your original destiny.
And what's my new destiny, allegedly? +1?
Well, you get the +1 to your luck either way.
Okay.
Yeah, your birth sign basically allows you to apply your luck modifier to certain roles. Now, in your case, your luck modifier is 0, so it doesn't really matter in this case so much. But if you're anticipating whether you're going to be a warrior or a magic user, wizard, it may make a difference.
the dice giveth.
I don't think I'm going to be a good warrior here, so I think I'll take the magic bonus.
Okay. The power surges through you, and you've changed your birth sign to the Raging Storm.
Okay.
Well done, my ally. You have found your destiny. And she turns to each of you in turn. Oh, give me a D12. There, John, I'm sorry. One more thing.
Okay. A D12.
Mm-hmm. 4. As you accept your new destiny, your hair begins to grow. Your fingernails begin to grow. A modest amount, but to those of you around you, they notice the change.
Okay.
And your whiskers. I assume you're male. Your whiskers have grown. Quite a healthy beard. Maybe perhaps 4 months worth of growth.
Wow. That's healthy.
Who knows? All right. Who next would like to spin the wheel of destiny?
I'll go.
Ah, step forward, Louis.
Louis.
You have served me well.
Louis.
But for uttering the dreaded name as Dresda before she was free, you have a minus one modifier to your roll.
To my D20 roll?
Yeah. Yes, and tell us about your D20.
So this D20, and Gersh was present for this.
Mm-hmm.
Rex, were you? I can't remember. I don't think so. I bought this from Madness during the first AAC.
Yeah, no, Rex was not there.
Rex was not there.
I did not go to Madness.
I bought it in a set. I picked out individual white text on black dice individually to make a. And then the guy was like, you know, this is more expensive than if you just buy the set. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I bought a set, and this is the D20 from that set. And then we had a beautiful lunch at a mediocre sports bar.
Yeah, that
was wonderful.
Bar.
Yeah. But Gersh bought everything in the store. It was glorious to see.
You don't say.
I bought this set of, by the way. This set of black
dice. That's where
ice.
The pony was originally.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And it still hasn't been run, so in honor of the pony game, I roll a 6. Minus one is a 5.
5.
And my luck check.
You already got the information from the luck check. So.
Oh, I see. No. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You either do or don't feel the shudder of being
duped.
Things being duped. Jason, Louis, I should say, history is rewritten. Louis has managed to ignore the summons of the Lady in Blue and goes back to a normal life, as if he had never responded to those dreams or participated in this adventure.
He might as well have died.
One of your other characters that died during this adventure is brought back to life.
Oh, I like that.
In his place, with the same rules for a resurrected character as listed above, which I should have read to you.
Resurrected.
The disappeared Louis lives out the rest of his life as a mundane individual with a deep sense of loss for some unknown missed opportunity. So you can bring back Dewey, or you can bring back, I guess, really anybody from the other session. If you wanted to focus on your characters, you've got Magnum Sheepskin, Bull Quarryman, Slate Carver, and Free Your Mind.
Have any other shamans survived? John, did your shaman make it?
Yeah, my shaman made it. Well, as of yet, he hasn't rolled.
Yeah, we haven't rolled yet.
You know what? I'm going to bring Magnum Sheepskin back.
Magnum Sheepskin. And to everyone else there, it's as if Magnum had been with you the entire time.
Magnum, dude.
And that Louis never existed.
He gotta go. Yeah.
Who next shall spin the wheel of destiny?
Go ahead, Gersh. Go ahead.
Hans will go.
All right, who do you got left there, Gersh?
Hans Scholo
steps. Tell us about your D20, your die.
So I opted for. So I don't know how old it is. I've had it for at least 20 odd years. But it's the ugliest die I've ever had because you can't actually see the numbers on it. Because it's sort of like red, white, and blue, like speckled and yellow lettering. And so I've always had this set and I've refused to use it. So I decided I'd bring it out for that. Because you can't actually read the numbers. But, yeah.
All right. And
I tried to send a picture, but I couldn't figure out how to use Rocket. So.
Yeah. Okay. And Hans, I randomly determined that you were the one who stepped first onto the invisible bridge.
Woohoo!
And as such, you may take a +2 to your D20 roll.
Oh, wow. Fancy schmancy.
Rigged.
So that'll actually make me a 21. I rolled a 19.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Crit.
The storm that rages around you intensifies and then parts. And above you, you see the brightest stars that you've ever seen on the blackest sky. And then they begin to move and change and pulse and grow and shrink. You, first of all, get a +2 to your luck score, which will take you to 14, which I think might get you a bonus at some point.
It does. Oh, my goodness.
You're going to roll for your new birth sign twice and get to choose of the three that you come up with. So let's roll a D30 two times.
Oh, well. Wow. No. I forgot the D. I just rolled 30.
Roll 30.
So 20 or 22.
All right. So you can keep your current sign of Guardian Angel, which is, relates to saving throws to escaping traps. You can have a new sign of Struck by Lightning, which impacts your reflex saving rolls, throws, or you can have Resisted Temptation, willpower saving throws.
I will go with Resisted Temptation. That sounds pretty cool.
All right. Now we're just getting started.
Oh, okay.
All right, you can choose one of your characteristics and roll D3D6, and if it's higher, you may choose to keep it.
Oh. Let's choose my shitty intelligence of 7.
Okay. 3D6, please.
Nope.
5. You'll keep it 7.
Oh, wow.
All right. Two more things. You can re-choose an occupation.
Ooh.
Now, is it turnip farming to rutabaga farming?
That probably only matters if you're going to change race. But
I could change my race. I could suddenly be something else.
You can be something entirely different. Like if you wanted to be a smuggler to a dwarven miner, you certainly can. And since you're about ready to advance, everyone's going to advance to first level. So, if you're going to play that into whatever class you want to be, but it's possible.
Yeah, I've never played a dwarf. I could be a dwarf. We don't have any elves either, so we have no more. We have nothing but humans, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I resurrected my halfling.
Oh, so we have a halfling. Okay. My intelligence sucks, so I won't be an elf. I'll be a dwarven. I'll be a dwarven smuggler. Can I just be a dwarven smuggler?
Sure.
Or all right. I'm dwarf.
You're a dwarf. pop. You pop into reality. Here are other things that you could revisit.
Okay.
Who your family is, what city you're from, what country you're from, any physical, major physical changes like gender. And you might even have a new name.
Oh.
You're basically completely a completely new person. All right, I'll let you mull that over. Who's next?
I guess I'll go with Hayek.
Rex, Hayek, step forth.
I don't really have a good D20 story. I got the oldest D20 I'm pretty sure I have. It's just a gray D20 with black numbers. I probably got it in the 90s. So I didn't own any D&D dice because I kind of missed the first wave of that. So,
the lady in blue is not impressed with your excuses.
I just wanted to lower the expectations on the front end.
So you have succeeded.
The next sense of disappointments won't be quite as troubling to her. So,
let's see here.
Should I not tell you what I rolled?
In a moment. That's good. Okay. What'd you get?
An 8.
First of all, you get a +1 to your luck score.
Ooh, that's good.
And you have to roll and must take your new birth sign, birth augur. Is that how you say that? Augur? I don't know that word.
Okay.
So a D30, please.
D30?
Yep.
Over here. One is the loneliest
that you'll ever see.
Your lucky sign has changed to harsh winter, and your luck score, your luck modifier.
How did you write that? I have a feeling you just rolled one.
No, it says he's rolling one.
I don't see a die.
It's 1D rolling.
It's not in parentheses. You know what I mean? Like usually when you're rolling a dice, it shows up in parentheses.
/R
You rolled a 1. D30.
That's right. Yeah, you rolled 1.
Oh yeah, you did roll 1 on a D30. That's how you wrote it. So you rolled a 1.
Yeah, you slash R.
Space D30. Don't put 1D30. Just put D30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it'll have that parentheses around the dice if you actually roll it.
How cool. Okay.
There's a 20.
Struck by lightning. Reflex saving throws.
Struck by lightning. Click that. Unclick that.
Well done, my ally. You have found your destiny. Give me a D12, please.
Three.
And choose, without knowing what I'm asking you, what it relates to, positive or negative.
Hayek's an optimist. He's going to go with positive.
Positive. You feel somewhat older. Perhaps a whole 3 months older. Ooh.
Would anyone ever feel that, really?
Depends on the week and what I've been eating.
I think. Yeah.
Hayek, your hair color. What was it? Or what is it?
It was kind of a dirty brown before.
Yeah. And what is it now?
It's a rather intense red.
In your eyes, Your eye colors. I remember them being fill in blank.
What they were in the past?
What have they been up to this point?
Hazel.
Hazel. And what are they now?
A piercing blue.
Wow. Even your eyes have fulfilled their destiny. Hayek, you have changed. You have changed for the better, says the lady in blue. And Kyle.
Real quick. So Hans turned into a woman, and her name is now Hansel Schola.
Nice.
Well done.
Oh, did Ole go already?
No.
Oh. So your Biscuit Barrel is going to go, right? Or is he?
Yep. Oh, he is.
And your D20, what does it tell us about your dice? Your die?
So this request to get a D20, preferably from our RPG past, sort of made me sad because I used to have quite an extensive library of all this. I had a first edition of Forgotten Realms box set. I had Planescape. I had Dark Sun. Menzo Brands and all these modules and box sets and everything. And while I was away at college, it was all destroyed when my parents' basement flooded.
Oh, the famous flood.
But my dice are all from that era, all gone. Like, I don't know how dice got ruined in a flood, but nonetheless, none of it was there when I got back.
They threw it all out.
So my D&D history just chucked in the trash. So I don't have... you know, my ties to my D&D past. So the dice that I have now are a set that I bought probably 15 years ago when I started playing in earnest again, which was boring. So I instead went into my closet in the basement and pulled out my bag of reject dice from all of the games that I've been collecting, where I never keep the dice in the box. I just take them and chuck them in this bag. And I thought, there's got to be a D20 in here. There's probably 100 dice in this bag. Of just, D6s, D10s. There's some D4s in there, but only a single D20 in that entire bag of a mess of dice. And it's this hideous, rounded corner, sort of a disgusting piss yellow color, like clear. It's clear. So, but it looks just a half sucked on Jolly Rancher. Just a disgusting, hideous die. And it was the only one in that bag. So this is my D20. It's my reject D20.
Perhaps
so
it will help you fill your destiny.
Perhaps.
Ole Biscuit Barrel.
So I'm going to roll this piss yellow die here. And I roll a 3.
3. Ole Biscuit Barrel has found himself back at home. He has managed to ignore the summons of the lady in blue and goes back to a normal life as if he had never participated in this adventure. He had never responded to the dreams. However, one of your prior characters, perhaps even Guy Buttersnaps, or Bob, or Roar, or Dasher, or Pip, perhaps could find themselves at the cliffs.
I wonder if Bob came back, would Bob also come with him?
Bob and Bob? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. His goat.
Yeah.
Named Bob. Yeah, I think Bob's going to show up.
Okay. Bob shows up, and as if to everybody else, he had been with you the whole time. Dragging
and Bob made it.
Dragging Bob up the ladder. All right. Well done, guys. I think that was everybody, right?
No, John has a second character.
Minot. Yeah. That's right. Minot the Lesser. Yeah. Minot. I have not forgotten about you.
Hey, that's why he's the lesser. Yeah.
The brave and cautious.
All right. So
the,
I need
the
to...
one who wrangled the rope, perhaps. I don't know. Yeah. Something awesome. All right.
So roll a D20, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, unless you've got another D20 story.
No, it's the same D20. I'll roll the different of the D20, so it's the same.
Okay. Oh, risky move, but up to you.
Yeah. Oh, this is a 3.
3. Mine at the Lesser is now dead.
That's awesome. And, only giving out bonuses to single characters.
And
that's why he
let's
is.
See. One of the characters that died during the adventure is brought back to life in its place.
All right. We'll bring it. Well, let's
you get
see.
To choose.
Who did we have before? How about Lingen? Lingenberry.
Lingenberry, the elven handler.
Oh, an elf. Nice.
There was an elf with you all along.
Yeah.
The strangest thing. Yeah, that was everything, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys covered just about all the table. The
nice.
Rest of the table was was just variations on that, different degrees of luck and changes and things like that. But thank you, my friends, my allies. You shall hear from me again. In the meantime, be vigilant. Be on the lookout for our enemies. You maybe find yourselves targets. But for now, go out and fulfill your destiny with your newly found destiny fulfillment. I don't know.
Very circular.
And with that, she scatters to the wind in pieces. As if light light petals of flowers into the wind and out into the ocean. All right, guys. Well done.
Very nice.
Right.
Well done.
Thanks for a second chance.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It was nice to see the conclusion of.
Yeah. Well, I really want everybody to get more first level characters and get out in the world get out of these funnels.
Endless cycle of.
There's a game store nearby, and I've been thinking about running this one there. I want to get it in one session. Like if I can get a 4-hour session, and not kill everybody, that might be fun.
Killing everyone can be kind of fun too, though.
Yeah.
Stepping out of the boat, Ty.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Dangerous.
Well, I've got a couple guys local. One's in the guild and one isn't. And they're both like, oh, yeah, when are you going to run it locally? When are you going to run it for us? It's like, we'll see.
That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, is there a closet guild member?
Keith pokes around. I mean, Keith and I play a lot. We post our stuff on the Gamer Keith. He's got the avatar from
Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove,
yeah. So he's local to me. We play a lot of war games together, but he doesn't do any RPGs. He's a good guy. Yeah, yet. But he's a good guy, and he's been asking me about it. So we'll see.
Very cool. Excellent.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you. Exactly 2 hours, practically. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens next.
All right.
Sounds good. Cool. I'll probably summarize all the...